And our special guest tonight, Stephen Quayle, Conversations with Stephen. And we'll come back. This is our final hour with him. We'll take your calls in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Stephen, do you have any reaction to this bizarre death of the former government official who worked under Reagan and the two Bushes, John Wheeler III, and his body being found in a landfill? I mean, what a bizarre story.
It's not bizarre. I think that obviously people die and, you know, are assassinated, especially him. Vietnam vet, all veterans out there should take notice. But in his case, okay, he basically, I think that the reports of him being disheveled, I think he was taken, given some form of a truth serum, scopolamine or something. Something drugged him, and they wanted to know something. Now, I know his home was ransacked, his family was away, and in the position that he was, an expert in biological and chemical weapons, it points to this massive pandemic that's being orchestrated. And by the way, you cannot escape it by the means of saying, well, I don't want to take that, because then you go to the camp. So he was involved in that. When there's a common central theme in all these people being killed, it's what they know, who they were, and how they were close. And look at who he was. I mean, he was a somebody. See, this is something that people have got to understand. These aren't run-of-the-mill Joes. These are people who have direct knowledge and interaction with the biological and chemical warfare world. It's just like when you and I did the show on Dr. Kelly, that I don't know, it was a day or two after he'd been found, and everybody's saying, oh, it was suicide, and all the experts are coming out. And I said, he was murdered, you know. And now, how many years are they saying he was murdered? The problem is that, see, what I'm trying to do is put two and two together, and I know that if I were to criticize myself, I would agree I give too much information. But what I'm trying to do, George, again, is to say all of these deaths, including the one we're talking about right now, is absolutely related to what they know, who they knew, what they were working on, and what they had in the way of evidence. It appeared that he had his own, I would just say this, his own protective papers, things that he had copies of that he could prove his case. But now there's something going on, and I think you need to, and the people need to know this, that deep, when I say this, deep background sources in the intelligence world who know that they are in the sights if they open their mouth, according to these people, and these are talking amongst themselves and even the words getting out, prime people, even within the CIA and NSA, are being assassinated. The new school is assassinating the old school. And I mean assassinating. I'm not saying, you know, figuratively. I'm saying literally. And the Central Security Services, that they've been given the green light to go out and take out the red list people. Those are people that do not believe in the New World Order, that oppose the Illuminati, that oppose the Nazi tyrannical policies being implemented by the current regime. And the good guys in the world and the military are now being targeted. And the good guys are now starting to stand up and fight back.
What's the percent of good guys to the bad guys?
You know, that's something I don't know. I don't know. But I will tell you this, that there are people, and I've referred to them before, the mighty men and women of valor that are out there, and God bless, the you men and women out there that are fighting us, and there are men and women in the intelligence community. If you and I, and we're good friends, if I knew that someone hurt you or you knew that someone hurt me, you'd want to know not only why, and, you know, everybody would say, yeah, well, you should have shut up or something, but no, I mean, you know what I'm saying? You're going to get to the bottom of it. But when you know that you are going to be preempted in all shape and manner of form of trying to find out the truth, then you have to take different measures to get to the ultimate knowledge. Well, this is who did it, okay? But the sad part is look at even the press now on Mr. Wheeler's death. They're just, it goes into that place where it's going to go into an investigation, then it gets washed away. There are people that are listening to me tonight that are some of the finest homicide investigators in the country, okay? I mean, I know these guys, and there are things you find out when I'm not a homicide investigator, but they tell me, the things they look for. And, for instance, who were all the friends? And the guy that was found dead that killed Dr. Smith, who were his friends? Who were his associates, you know?
You gotta follow it all.
They don't tie together. By the way, my answer question, there are a lot of people sending me emails. They say, I can't order your books on Goodnight Amazon. I'm the only one that has my books. You can either order them online or you can call me tomorrow. No one's there until 9 o'clock.
You self-publish, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, I sell direct to the public. It's 406. This is my phone number. No one will be there until 9. 406-586-4840. 406-586-4840. And you can go online and order them too. But the point is that, you know, people say, well, why do you do that? I went to some publishers when I wrote Breathe No Evil. Remember that, the primer for biological and chemical terrorism? And no one said it was interesting. How is it that after the Aum Shinrikyo cult released nerve gas in the Tokyo subway, then it came on everybody's weather screen? Remember that if I set up a problem, I provide the solution, and I get the desired results, and I was in control all the way along, and that's how the Illuminati works.
All right, back to the phones we go. Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Let's go to Clive with East of the Rockies. Hey, Clive.
Hi, George. Hi, Mr. Quayle. I'm a long-time listener and second-time caller. George, your show is fascinating, as it always is. And Mr. Quayle, you know, I really respect what you do, man. You've got an outstanding topic you're discussing right now. And I have two questions for you, Mr. Quayle. The first one is about the chip. Now, you said that the chip is placed in our right hand because the vascular arterial topology is kind of unique to every individual, and it's like a signature. And you said that once the chip is placed in the hand, if the hand is cut off and you didn't finish, what happened? My question is, does the chip, to maintain some type of independent life-sustaining capability, does it migrate to another part of the body, and is it still functioning, and can the scanner retrieve it, identify it, and give the kind of information to the host that the host is requesting? And
And let me just answer that, because that is a phenomenally good and well-thought-out question. I asked, not as well as you did, by the way, but I asked, and they said it has a self-destruct program that works on the heart rhythm, and it instantly goes dormant, and it ceases to function.
Okay. All right. Now, my second question is about the Giants. Okay. The Giants are in Stacy's chambers, I guess, throughout various caves or throughout underground repositories on the Earth. And our SOG, or Special Operation Groups, you know, from our military intelligence people, they are studying them. Have they identified all of the Giants on the Earth, and just what are they doing? Are they doing neurolinguistic programming on these Giants to try to make them more friendly to us when they awake? Have they identified their awake time? You know, just what are they doing in terms of research on these Giants, and have outstanding people like Major Danes and his remote viewers identified all of the Giants on this planet, and just what's going on? And I'll take my answer offline. Man, thank you. You got a fascinating subject tonight.
Well, there you go, Stephen.
And all your questions are good. First of all, the Giants, not all of them are in stasis. There are some that are animated. Those who have ever seen my book, Long Walkers, it's a fictional account that Duncan Long and I wrote. Duncan's a great fictional writer, and I'm the one that came up with the characters and the plot. The thing is that there's a actual illustration in that book, George, and that is a ritual at the time, and it's a literal ritual that took place in which the leaders of the world, the Illuminati leaders of the world, were in an underground cavern in Rome, and one of these live giants was chained, and if you get the book, and I'm not saying they have to buy the book, but in that book, as a matter of fact, I'll put it up on my website so people can see it, but they have these giants that are alive, and even in Dulce, not all of them are in stasis. Not all of them are on the Earth. Barry Kamish, in his book, Giants, I Think, Over the Holy Land, talks about saucers, a lot of the flying saucers that are landing. And these are not, you know, the Earth-generated black ops ones. They have 9- and 10-foot giants. Now, some people say they don't want to believe it. But when you get eyewitnesses of thousands and tens of thousands of people, well, then your opinion is valid to you, but it doesn't stand the scrutiny of evidence against your opinion. So people say, well, I don't believe the giants exist, or I've never seen a giant bone. That's right, you never have probably. but that doesn't mean it. And for the record, there was a movie out a number of years ago, and I mean a real long time ago, with an actor named Barry Sullivan, and it used to be called something like The Angry Red Planet or something. Not The Angry Red Planet, but it was like that. And the whole thesis of it was that the civilization on Mars was giants. I have talked, and George, you've had Dr. Basiago on your show.
Yes.
And I can tell you this, the stuff that he talks about, I can independently verify, and I've never talked to him, met him, nor he me. And the whole thing of the, it was called The Demon Planet with Barry Sullivan. And in that, you see the skeletons of giants in the underground Martian labyrinth, and one of them, I think, is like dead over a giant table. Well, again, the thing is that the stargates, we're talking about dimensional. Not all the giants are on this Earth. They're you know, and we could get into sometime if we just did a show and I could stick to the subject, war in heaven and the history of what the ancients taught, including the Hindu Vedic text. You know, they're talking about a war that would make the Pentagon drool for the effectiveness of the weaponry.
Let's go to Denver, Colorado. Dolores is with us. Hey, Dolores, good morning.
Hello there. Stephen, well, you always scare the bejesus out of me. And what I'd like to ask you is, what has happened to Jesus in all this? If Jesus is so powerful, they can't utter his name, why does it seem that he's sort of in hiding? I mean, here we are, hungry, desperate people praying to be delivered from this horrible plan, and nobody's making it to the mountaintop. Nobody has developed to the point where they can lead us through this. And, you know, you talked about critical thinking, and I actually think religion is the antithesis of critical thinking. So here's my question. We outnumber them greatly, and Jesus obviously has massive power over what the so-called Luciferians are. So what are we doing wrong? What is going on in these secret societies, and what are they learning about manifesting power that we don't know? And how can we get out of our victim consciousness that just perpetuates this cycle? And I would really appreciate it if you wouldn't quote the Bible, because I don't take it as a historical treatise.
Okay, I have an answer for you, and I'll stay away from that, okay? The answer is, the Illuminati believe in what they're doing. The Illuminati dedicate their lives to what they're doing. The Illuminati does not think they're going to lose. I would say to you that for the Christians who are to be the salt of the earth, you know, the salt of the earth, what salt preserves. When people no longer stand up for what they believe, people can say, do you really believe what you believe? And whether you want, and I can't answer it away from the Bible, and I won't quote the scripture, but first of all, if you really believe what you say you believe, then you'll stand up for what you believe. I submit to you the reason the Illuminati are taking over is, number one, and this has nothing to do with the Bible, but it represents the men who say they believe the Bible, is the pulpits are powerless and the people have no teaching and the people don't understand. It's like if I put the most powerful weapon in someone's hands and they don't know how to use it, it won't do them any good. So in the world that you're talking about, because of what is taking place, why does evil triumph over good? Because the good fails to exert the power that God's given it. That's the only answer I have for you.
Will good win eventually?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, listen, 3.5 years, this is a question that's really bothered me too. Why? We're given free will. That means we get to choose. But why did God give the devil 3.5 years, which is called the Great Tribulation? Again, there are Christians that think it's 7. I believe it's 3.5, 42 months. The book of Daniel would say 42 months. Why does this period come? And Jesus asked the question, when he returns, will he come faith, you know, will he find faith in the earth? The Bible teaches the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. It means Jesus comes back at the end of the 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation, at the Battle of Armageddon, when all the kings of the earth who have yielded to the Antichrist and have basically, with the fallen angels and all the angelic rebels and all the giants and all the super soldiers and everything, fights against God and his people, the Lord in his breath takes it all out in one shot. Now, again, I'm not wise enough, and tell you the truth, George, some of these things I don't have answers for, okay? But the Bible declares that there is a thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ on earth, that he's not just a historic figure, that he's the Son of God, that he redeemed humanity. And the word redemption is a powerful word. It means that you buy back something that has been lost or has been sold. In essence, the Bible teaches original sin. We sold our birthright, and Jesus gives it to us back. But the devil is there to do three things: to rob, to kill, and to steal. And so, in essence, if a person doesn't stand up, and I maintain that obviously Luciferians aren't ashamed. There was a time when we were the salt of the earth and good held back evil. It's just like you and I talk about. We love the 50s, and, man, I had a great time in the 60s, you know. But the thing is that when you get into the 70s, 80s, things started to change. And I think the bottom line is that I was told, this is a statement from the Antichrist who's alive on this earth at this time. I can't tell you, you know, the name, I don't know, you know, his specific name, but he said, even that which is written in stone will wear away over time with water. And my answer to him, who's probably listening, is that's why God wrote it in an eternal heart, and he wrote his law and his love in our hearts. The point is that humanity, you know, from the day of the beginning, whether you believe it or not, you know, Cain slaying Abel and the reasons behind it, there's been battle. There's always going to be battle until Jesus, the Prince of Peace, comes and says enough is enough. I'd like him to do that tonight, to be honest with you.
Let's go to Paul in Vancouver in Canada. We'll get you in here before the break. Go ahead, Paul.
Okay, hi. I applaud you and your guest. Amazing show tonight. I think I just have to, I have a quick comment, and I'll take the response off the air.
Sure.
I'm a Catholic, believe in Jesus, walked in Capernaum, Field of Megiddo, had a Eucharist at St. Patrick's Chapel in the lower level of the Vatican, and I prayed tonight before I phoned in, and I believe that the Spirit of God led me to call you tonight to say that some of the doom and gloomers could be misleading the people through scare and fear tactics to buy their books or watch their shows. Thanks so much.
I apologize. I didn't hear his last statement.
He thinks you're a doom and gloomer, Steve.
Okay, now let me share this with you. He's a simple man. You cannot go to the book of Revelation, and typically the fearmonger, that's my other favorite word, okay? At Tavistock Institute, I don't have time to explain it, but a doom and gloomer, what was his whole basis of argument to me? Let's just look at it critically. He feels, okay, I am this, he's saying, I'm a Catholic, I'm, you know, basically good Catholic, I'm not arguing with anything, but doom and gloom. The point is that you cannot, listen, let's say Steve Quayle never existed, and George, you didn't have a radio show. It doesn't take away from the headlines, on the top of Drudge, end of the world, blah, blah, blah. The point is that the stories, listen, it is gloom, and it is doom in one sense.
It's truth.
It's true. So what he's saying to me is, I'm uncomfortable with the truth. So instead of dealing with my, quote, fear, and everybody who calls me a doom and gloomer, my immediate response back to him, listen, you had better, Mr. or Mrs., deal with your fear. Go ahead and slander me. Go ahead and whatever, you know. But it's always been the case. And I will say to that man who just proclaimed himself to be a Catholic, no word of God spoken by any word of God to the people of God and all the history of God's people is ever received by the people of God, by the man of God who speaks it at any time. That's a mouthful, but basically, I'll sum it up in saying this. God's people never believe him at the time he speaks it. Only in retrospect do all men see clearly.
We'll be back with final phone calls with Stephen Quayle in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast show, we are going to be talking about strange and mysterious creatures, followed by open lines on Coast to Coast AM. And when we come back in just a moment, we'll take final phone calls, conversations with Stephen Quayle on Coast to Coast AM. And we're back with Stephen Quayle and your final phone calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. Stephen, give your website out again, because I'm getting emails now from people who want your material too.
Okay, it's www, of course, Steve Quayle, StevequayleQuayle.com. My phone number to order the books is 406-586-4840 or 406-586-4840. And they go to my website, and all my books are there.
What are you working on now? I mean, because you've you are looking at this world in a different view with a different eye, and I have a feeling you've got more to say about this.
Well, I do, and I'm trying to decide. I have two things I want to share, too. I've got a book I haven't brought out yet that I've been waiting for some information that was promised, but it hasn't come. I don't know if the person's still on the earth or not, but it was called Lucifer's Luggage, Suitcase Nukes in America. And one of the things I don't think people understand is that the mainstream press downplays everything that's a true threat. Now, again, George, I'm trying to get people to understand. I don't wish to scare anybody. By the way, I find that if you have information, that's a perfect antidote for fear, okay? But what I'm really working on at this moment is trying to get people to realize that the more information they have and the more prepared they are, is that when I say prepared, then they're not taken off guard. And you've been talking tonight, just even in some of the commercials from eFoods, the silver and gold stuff, the economic collapse is a thing that's bugging me. I wrote a book a number of years ago, and I'm getting a lot of requests to write a book on economics. When the derivativist word first came on the scene, you and I had talked about that years and years ago. And you remember I said it was a quadrillion-dollar problem?
Yep.
The word quadrillion did not exist in the mainstream press for 5 years after I first used it. I used to get laughed at. I used to get people said, what are you smoking? I said, I don't. What are you drinking? I don't. I said, but let me share something with you. And I gave an illustration. And just to bring it all forward, now we've got Mr. Kotlikoff, one of the most famous economists in the world, saying the U.S.'s debt is $200 trillion, 840% of our gross domestic product. You've got Gerald Celente telling him, by the way, I mean, I love that guy. I believe he's absolutely spot on. And what I've learned is this, whenever that people are trying to get their points across, it's because ultimately they care. Versus the people that just knock it, oh, you're this or that, you're that. So when Gerald Celente's talking, and then you had Ed Dames on talking about the thing, I would say this, in a multitude of counselors, there is wisdom. If people don't want to accept what I have to say, that's fine. But after a point, when you go to the, and I mean this, God bless you for what you do, when you go and you bring the men on, and Gerald Celente, in my opinion, is one of the foremost four thinking people that exist in the world of metals, okay?
Yes.
Where were a lot of the others 10 years ago when you could buy silver for $4 an ounce or gold for $300 an ounce? And there's a lot of Johnny-come-latelys on the scene, and everybody tends to want to get on the bandwagon, but when they're just getting on the bandwagon, they've got to understand that things have moved on from the time they just get it. Somebody once told me, you're going to get it sooner or later, but pray that you don't get it when it's too late, okay? So what I'm working on specifically is I'm thinking I'm going to have to put up an e-book. When I say have to, I've been asked to, because a lot of this stuff which is new to people, when they see, 43 million people on food stamps, one of the things that touched my heart, and I want to thank you for it, my goal on my talk radio program has been to get people to start caring about others. And I got to tell you, I mean, I got a little bit teary-eyed when I heard that you were paying that woman's rent, okay? And I say that not to flatter you, but that's what I'm trying to develop in my listeners. I'm saying each one touch one. If each one of us cares for somebody, if each one of us does something, and I'm putting up the testimonials on my website. One lady contacted me and said because I helped her, it kept her from committing suicide. One guy said to me, I'm only saying this, I could care less about this isn't about me. It's about people that now have that wonderful word, hope. I know a guy that absolutely has got the most beautiful smile in the world. I told him, I said, brother, you've got the most beautiful smile. But he didn't before he got some help. So what I'm trying to do, seriously, if this is the closing days, months, years of history, I'm trying to make a difference in every single life I can. I've got some listeners, George, that whenever I say, hey, there's this lady that needs, she's got two kids, her husband ran off on her, or there's this father, single father, kids, vets need this or that, and I believe that that there are people, the majority of people in this country are loving, caring people. And I believe that it's we who make the difference. And I don't believe, that the government programs can keep printing money without a horrible day coming. And that's the number one thing that I'm concerned about, is dealing with how do people live. You know, I don't think maybe your listeners know this, but I was one of the guys that started the survival business self-preparedness movement almost 30-some years ago.
Yep, that's right. I mean, you did this way before anybody even knew what survival was.
Right. And so the thing is that I know I have faults. And one of my biggest faults is it's tough to be ahead of time and then wait for everyone to, catch up and then be frustrated during that time, okay? But to take away from all that, the idea is that, look, we know something's up between 2011 and 2012. All the stuff of everybody talking, I think it was Tom Horn in the background, wasn't it, during the break that was speaking?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't believe there's a more articulate, knowledgeable man in the world on transhumanism and all of the occult stuff going on behind the scenes in that world than him, okay? So why do bad things happen to good people? Obviously, somebody, the effectiveness of Tom and others, Dave Flynn, there are so many people, Russ Dizdar, there are people out there who are making a difference. And what's fascinating to me is that this thing is coming to a head. I don't know when the big earthquake on the New Madrid fault is. I don't know when it comes in California. We get warning signs and signals, but I will say this.
It will happen.
You should not have to pay for water. And after watching Conspiracy Theory with Jesse Ventura, that day is coming. I mean, what is a quart of water now? $1? So a gallon of water is what, $32? If you bought it in bottled water, you can get it cheaper than that. But you know what I mean. So we're being how should I say this? Played for the willing dupes that we are. Oils, what do we hear? $100 to $150. Food. This is the thing I want to share with your. If I could say nothing tonight, throw out everything else. Please, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to need food. If you have food, you come under less control. Someone says, well, what happens if the government makes a law that you can't have food? Well, what happens if the government makes a law that you can't breathe air? Obviously, if you choose to live, then that's one law you're not going to agree to.
All right, let's wrap it up with final calls. Stephen, Eric in Louisville, Kentucky's up there. Hey, Eric, go ahead. Welcome to the program.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Hey, Stephen. I'm a big fan. I'm so grateful for people like you guys, and I think you all be remembered for the ones that tried to wake people up, you know what I mean? We got a lot of chemtrails down here, and they're just about every other day they're spraying, like, big time, and a lot of people just, they play dumb, they act like they don't see them. But I had a question about the Giants. I was wondering, do they have an ethnicity to them? Are they like white, black, or brown? And is the government going to let them loose on people when they want to?
And the answer is they come in all shapes, sizes, and colors.
And how long do you think they've been spraying us, Stephen? How many years?
Well, the first time that, and I think it was, good night, probably around just a little bit after 2000, 2001. I know William Thomas gives me credit, thank him for it, for bringing that up, and then he took it from there. But the chemtrails originally, they've modified the formulas. My number one concern with chemtrails is that it was a binary chemical poisoning that they gave us the first dose, and at some point they're going to give us the second dose. I know they said it was to reflect the sunlight up. Remember, George, people denied it even existed until some of us put the patents up, They were denying, those were just condensation trails. And then Cliff Carnicom and others said, no, these are not just condensation trails. He's done a marvelous job, carnicom.com. And so there's so much out there. But, isn't it interesting so few people look up anymore? And to the people that have a tendency to look up and look around, and believe me, in my world, I'm looking every direction all the time. I'm like a spinning top. But the point is that we're to the position now where the chemtrails have done their damage. I actually tracked the respiratory diseases when they started, and they really hit heavily. And every day, I'm sure you get it too, George, chemtrails spraying like I've never been. I was in a Learjet, a friend of mine's. He let me go up and film some chemtrails, and we were at the same level they were, okay? And I was clocking. I have a chronograph watch. I was clocking the time that the chemtrails took to combine, okay? In other words, there were two jets going. And they were electrostatically charged, George, because, you know, paralleling them, it was only 30 seconds. Now, that's moving fast at 2 miles.
Yep, absolutely.
So the chemtrails, the food poisoning, the genetic modification of the food, I'm telling people the best way to get good quality food, even if you can't buy seeds, is sprout. All the live enzymes in the food, you know, the protein is going to disappear. The laws, I'm told that there is an official document that says unless you're one of the elite, you're going to be limited to somewhere between 1,200 and 1,500 calories a day. That's global slavery. We're in a word I coined, and we talked about it years ago on your show, techno-serfdom, where the technology would replace human labor and we would become a nation of serfs. And then I put the caveat on it, those that are allowed to live.
All right, let's go back to the calls. Butler, Pennsylvania. Jim on the wild card line. Jim, you're on with Stephen Quayle.
Hi, George. Hi, Steve.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey, you seem to know a good bit about the Bible. I wanted to just ask you, you know, there's a lot of advertisements for gold and silver. Are you familiar with the verse in there that says you'll be throwing your gold and silver in the streets?
Right, and that's in the day of the Lord, okay? And the day of the Lord, and you're probably familiar with this, let me share my attitude on gold and silver because it's biblical. When Jesus was born and he had to flee into Egypt to basically, you know, avoid being slain, and Mary, his mother, and Joseph, Mary's husband, went down there, what did the three wise men bring him?
That's right. Myrrh, frankincense.
And gold, okay?
And gold.
In the book of Genesis, God created gold and silver to be just measures, okay? In the tabernacle and the temple, the tabernacle was the tent of God's presence when the Hebrews fled Egypt into the wilderness. The temple was the temple of Solomon. The gold was something that God created, and the gold of Ophir was good. Just measures. The question I have for you is how is it, and I get this all the time, okay, because I've been in the precious metals business for 30 years, if people believe that stewardship is a real function of biblical Christianity, in other words, what God entrusts you with, he wants you to prosper and be blessed so you can help others, then how is it that the parable of the 10 talents, that's not talking about someone who can sing or play the fiddle. The specific scripture you're talking about, they'll cast their gold and silver into the streets, okay, is talking about the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is not the tribulation. That comes at the end of the tribulation, and it basically says that the rich men of the earth will howl because their gold and silver won't save them. They're trusting in the God of this world, little g, their money. Remember, Jesus said the love of money is the root of all evil? The point is that that's misapplied. God said gold and silver as just measures. Our Constitution says real money is gold and silver. And so I get a kick out of Christians that want to, and I'm not saying you are, but say, well, that's not trusting God, yet they buy Federal Reserve notes that next year will be worth at least half of what they're worth now, unless they're totally repudiated and new currency comes in. So if that's being a scaremonger, I hope I scare people into right thinking and acting in their best behalf to absolutely not perish. I hope I've answered your question.
What are your thoughts as we get close to 2012?
My thoughts are we're going to see earthquakes and we're going to see volcanoes. I made a statement 20 years ago. We're going to see volcanoes not going off one or two or maybe three or four. We're going to, at some point, see them come almost all active at once. All you have to do is Google how many volcanoes are in Indonesia. You know the Kamchatka Peninsula, the most eastern part of Russia, big, huge volcanoes, obviously the Cascade region. And I think, George, we're going to see volcanism on such a level that it's going to astonish people. I think literally, I can't say it better, men's hearts are going to fail them for fear of looking after those things coming upon the earth. Planet X. Sometime I would love to do a show on Planet X. I was contacted a number of years ago, probably 15 years ago, by somebody very high ranking in NASA, brilliant astrophysicist, and probably the woman who introduced me to him is listening right now to this show. And the thing is that he was talking about the planning for, and in their world, they called it Gabriel's Fist. Obviously, Planet X is what the story in U.S. News and World Report. We're now getting the effects of Planet X all throughout the solar system, Jupiter. We're seeing different actions in different planets, and we're seeing absolute strangeness. And one of the things that I was concerned about years ago, even mentioning it to some very powerful military men, is by all of these scalar weapons being used in you know, secret warfare, weather warfare, we're creating an electromagnet in the Earth that is going to disrupt the wonderful balance that God created. And again, so people know this, God isn't blind. He knows. He says he, in Revelation, will destroy those who destroy the Earth. So while it's not going to happen, the process is still underway. I believe it's not global warming. I believe it's astral catastrophism. Okay, that's a fancy word.
What
Velikovsky taught in an unchristian way, because he was not a Christian, what Donald Patton wrote about in his book, The Biblical Flood and Ice Epoch, I'm telling people this because I'm not a guy that just sits around saying, well, I got to look here, I got to look here. I try and turn over every leaf, and what I'm telling you is Planet X, and what I'm telling you is we're already feeling the effects of it. You and I did a show even years ago when, what was it, Dr. Shoemaker was killed in Australia with his wife. Either Shoemaker or Levy, and forgive me. And they went down there to basically photograph it. And basically where they went in the outback is one of the U.S.'s secret bases. You know, it's in the, you know, Pine Gap area. So what I'm saying is, and just as we've had microbiologists killed, a lot of people who have been involved in that. And, George, on my website, we talked about the war after World War II officially ended between the Nazis and the U.S. for the Antarctica bases called New Schwabenland. The world press is carrying stories all over the world press about the war that the United States is undertaking with alien UFOs in the Antarctic region.
It's a great story. Stephen, thanks for being on the program. For David Bujenski, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasaur, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.